Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back. Second hour of the show. And I'm just going to... Dave knows why I'm distracted today. I'm distracted today, but I can't say why I'm distracted. Now, I'll tell people tomorrow why I'm distracted, right? It's a good thing, distracted. It's not a bad thing, distracted.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. But I can't even say anything. I can't really reveal, except for that, but that's a good tease, isn't it?
It's a very good tease.
Yeah. I think people will like the news.
I look forward to hearing how you're going to tell this tomorrow.
Okay, don't say anything more.
I'm not.
I'm getting in trouble. We'll do, you know what? Here's what I'll commit to. We'll commit to this very time, because some people listen in the two, some people listen in the three, some people throw things at the radio when they're listening and they cuss me out, but no matter what, if you want to hear the reason that I'm a little on edge today. Again, good thing. Probably a good thing.
Yeah, it's good.
Maybe
it's
not
good.
A good thing all the time, but kind of a good thing. And I will reveal tomorrow at this time.
So 24 hours from now.
Yeah, and it's not another child. I'm just going to say that right now. That's where Carol would have gone, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no. I got enough of those, and I had the surgery. So Dave Klein just came back from vacation down Gulf Shores, Alabama, right?
Great time, yep.
A little background here on Dave. Well, first and foremost, he's got three kids. You know, he had another baby in the winter and took 4 or 5 months off because
That's
of our...
That's your never-ending joke, I know.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
How long was it?
It was a month.
Yeah, a month for paternity
right.
leave, even though the baby did not come out of his private parts.
Right.
So then you... well, how was I going to kind of break this down? So you know that about Dave. Also know that Dave used to weigh how much?
I was close to 3 bills at one point.
300 pounds.
I was about 280 at my heaviest.
Now, I never knew you then. But
no, you
I
didn't.
Remember when you were hired here and Ben Boyd knew you, right?
Uh-huh.
I think you had worked with Ben previously. He said, yeah, Klein used to be... I don't know if fatty was his word, but he showed me... Well, didn't you have like a driver's license or something?
Oh, yeah. I was
Maybe
large.
That's what you showed me.
I even did
me.
Like the Jared picture, too, holding up the jeans.
You
yeah.
looked completely different.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bring it up because you come back from vacation. Look, you got the new baby in the house, which I think relates to the storytelling
right.
here. It's stressful. You had fair to say that you put some pounds back on. I
mean, yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you're not anywhere. What do you weigh now? Do you mind me asking?
I'm a little over 200.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's a far cry from 300.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But you have decided, and people do this, you know, for whatever reason, you've kind of decided to do a bit of a cleanse.
Yeah. So, you know, after having kids and not having enough time to have time for yourself anymore to work mm-hmm. out, you put the pounds back on, as
Plus
you said.
Plus, you got to work with me, and that's a lot of
that's
added
stress, a lot of stress
right?
in itself.
Absolutely.
And then we have a lot of snacks in the house we've never had before, Goldfish, Cheez-Its, those sorts of things. It's easy to get to be lazy and get away
sure.
with eating that sort of stuff. So after our vacation, my wife and I both said, you know what? We're going to motivate each other. We're going to go on a little bit of a cleanse, a little bit of a diet. And so that's what we started doing as of Monday.
Now, what are you doing here? And the reason I bring it up is because I have this story to tell about Penn Jillette from Penn & Teller, which I saw over the weekend. And that guy lost 75, actually, I think 100 pounds.
Yeah.
He lost 75 originally. I think he's up to 100 pounds now.
A few months ago, my brother-in-law saw his physician for the first time in a while, who said to him, you know, for a lot of people that don't have a lot of time to work out, and just people in general, he would recommend intermittent fasting. And there's different ways to do it. There's, you know, you can fast for 16 hours a day and eat for 8. You can fast for 18 hours a day and eat for 6. Some people fast
like
pretty much.
Like eat for 6 hours straight?
Yeah, I mean, you consume all of your calories for one day in that 6-hour period.
Right.
Now, you can't eat a lot of junk and crap in that period. You're supposed to eat healthier stuff. Some people will just only eat dinner on some days. It's just different ways to do it. And so my wife saw a doctor yesterday who kind of said the same thing, recommended intermittent fasting. I'm going to see a doctor in a few weeks and I'm going to see if he says the same thing to me.
So if you would do that, do you have I'm just curious about this. Are there logistical paths to, like, if you were going to do it, how would you do it?
Well, I start off doing it the hard way.
Okay.
Like I said, some people will do it. Well, they'll eat in an 8-hour window. I said, you know what? I can do 6.
Okay.
I can do 6. So for today, I start off in the morning, didn't have anything.
Okay.
You can have water, black coffee, black tea, no sugar, no cream, no nothing like that. Pretty basic stuff.
A pastry?
No pastries. Oh, no, nothing
figure.
Like that.
Go figure.
And so I said, you know what? When I get into work, I'll get my work done because that will kind of keep me working and distracted and not thinking about food. And I'll have coffee in front of me too. Great. I'm going to start eating around 1:30, and then my window closes at 7:30.
So nothing after 7:30.
Nothing after 7:30.
You've had something to eat today.
Yeah, I had a chicken sandwich, some pretzels, probably not the best choice, but still, you know, not horrible.
Did you have a pastry?
No pastries. Had a banana, had some peanut butter.
Kind of focused on pastries myself.
Sounds delicious. I'd love one right now. So kind of like healthier choices you're supposed to make, and my window closes tonight at 7:30.
Okay, is there a goal for weight loss?
I mean, honestly, I'd like to get back down to 180-ish, 175-ish. I'm between 5'10 and 5'11.
Yeah, about the same.
I'd say that's realistic. I don't know how long it's going to take, but so either my doctor's going to tell me in a few weeks, keep it up, or this is a really bad idea for you. You should probably stop.
I think it's good that you're talking to your doctor. So here's the, and this was interesting because I was going to talk about this anyway, and then I found out that you were doing this today, and Penn Jillette, who I love Penn Jillette, let me just tell a background story. You edited this, right?
I did. Yeah, I listened to it a few times just to make sure I edited it correctly, so this should be good.
There is a fantastic, fantastic documentary called Tim's Vermeer, and Penn and Teller produced this, I think it was Teller who directed it, if I'm not mistaken, but Penn is the narrator, and it's all about this Dutch master, the painter Johan Vermeer. I don't care about a Dutch painter any more than I care about anything, but so I don't, what do I know? But the movie was fascinating. What he did in the period, and I'm going to probably misname the century in which all this happened because it was a long time ago, but it is a fascinating movie. So anyway, I had him on at the time when that movie was out, because I was a huge fan, and it was a taped interview. So sometimes the magic of radio will just kind of tell you what happens here, and then you'll forget about it. But every once in a while, we do a taped interview that airs, and you won't know it's taped because we just air it. So, but what I said to Penn is I said, hey, this is going to probably air in a couple of days. So don't say today or don't say what. Right. I don't know. There was a reference. There was a time reference that I didn't want him
to hear it in the clip.
Mention. So I said, hey, Penn, don't say blah, blah, blah. Here's what I said. Is my voice on here too?
Yes, it
okay,
is.
Okay. So this is, and I clipped this. I save it just because I thought it was so funny. I'm going to air this tomorrow, Penn. And so the movie opens Friday. I'm very excited. So I'll say, don't get through. I'll say it opens tomorrow, just so you know.
And I won't scream. What the are you talking about? It's 2 days from now. Are you out of your mind? What are you, crazy? I won't say that.
I just laughed so hard when he did that.
Still
it was so
laugh.
And I put that, you know, I think you sent me an MP3 and I played that to so many people. Anyway, that was just a little I digress for a moment there. So he used to weigh 322 pounds. He's 6'7", so he's got a little height advantage there.
Right.
But still, I think if you remember seeing Penn and Teller back in the day, he was sort of sloppy and, you know, a
that's how
fat.
I remember him.
Right. Yeah, he had the big goatee and the real crazy hair that didn't wasn't very good. But, you know, we all had periods with our hair. Dave even used to have hair. But, sorry. The sixth season of Penn and Teller Fool Us airs Monday at 8 p.m. And this was past Monday. And have you seen that show?
I have not.
It's a good show. It really is a good show. But anyway, the story comes out because they're promoting the show, how he dropped 100 pounds several years ago. So he's real fat, and he starts on this potato diet. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay, he eats plain potatoes for 2 whole weeks. That sounds disgusting, by the way. But he says, I picked them because it's the funniest word. I could have chosen beans or almost anything. The arbitrary but restrictive method is known as the mono diet. After subsisting on spuds alone for 14 days, he started phasing in vegetable stews and salads for added variety. But he did not include foods that provide lead protein and nutrients, which is something I would, you know, caution you on. You got to make sure you're still getting your protein.
Absolutely.
So he stuck to it, even though he doesn't, because I think the physicians, and there's somebody that weighs in this particular piece, they say, look, you got to be careful. You got to get your protein here. So he didn't exercise. He lost 75 pounds. He hit his target weight of 225. And he says that it was a boring menu, but it helped him break the bad eating habits. He goes, I'm not good at moderation. I think a lot of people aren't good at moderation.
Sure.
I want to do hardcore stuff. I wanted to lose the sense of eating socially. It was a way to lose all the habits I had gotten into. So they kind of caution people in this particular piece And they wrote about it on goodhousekeeping.com. I saw a story in the LA Times as well, and there's some experts that say, well, you know, you got to be careful. You might not get your protein in. Everyone's kind of got their own way of doing it.
Right.
And the hard part, I think, is sticking to it. Now, look, I weighed 208 at my high point in 1983 before I graduated from high school. So I know a little bit about being heavy.
You talk about the husky sizes.
Well, I was wearing the husky size. But yeah. Look, you look at me. I'm about 168 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 40 pounds, right?
Yeah.
And that's...
I was down to that at one point, and my wife looked a picture of that and said, you look sickly at that weight.
But I just be careful. I'm very careful with moderation. I still eat. Sometimes I eat a lot. But I don't eat lunch on most days. That's one trick that I have, is I do eat breakfast. I don't really eat very much for lunch, maybe just something small, and then I kind of go to town at dinner.
So in a way, that's kind of your own way of intermittent fasting, kind of.
It kind of is.
Yeah.
When you think about it. Because, look, this place is tough. This building.
The past 2 days.
You walk out there right now, and there's cupcakes. There's like 3 dozen cupcakes. There's pizza, and usually there's cookies. Now, you can't, I'm just telling you right now, I'm talking to you, Dave. You can't do that. You gotta walk away.
I've been dessert free and pizza free for 2 days around here, which is not easy to do.
Dark chocolate satisfies the sweet tooth. So I have these little Reese's dark chocolate thins that are my favorite right now.
I've not seen those.
You just like one of those after dinner.
Yeah.
You just stick to that. Dr. Reardon says that's what you can do. How's that?
I've done for the past couple of days a lot of mixed berries for dessert. As exciting as that sounds, but it's working.
It's not as good as chocolate.
No, I'm
just going to tell you. Tina Spivey from our traffic department's in the other room, and I said, "Dr. Reardon," she just gave me. She rolled her eyes. Oh, Mark. You're doing that again. All right, we got to take a break. We're coming back with more in a moment.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
Man, I wish that I was better organized. This is on me, but there are things that I want to talk about, and oftentimes I just misplace them, which is exactly what I may have done. A couple of things that I want to mention here. Oh, we got a big NASCAR driver coming in here in just a few minutes as well. There's the Truck Series race this weekend, and we're going to visit in just a few minutes with Jordan Anderson, who's one of the riders. It's the Worldwide Technology Gateway Raceway, the Gander Outdoors Truck Series, which is coming up. I think that's the old name. The new name is the CarShield 200, presented by CK Power. So you got to get the sponsors in there. I had Scott Barry on earlier this afternoon. Scott is the St. Louis and the Blues fan who put $400 at 250-1. He cashed his ticket in yesterday, $100,000. And his buddy got $50,000, put $200 to win. So they took a private jet, went out there, and had a great time. So we'll replay part of that interview coming up at 4:20 this afternoon on KMOX. I saw Toy Story last night, which was really interesting. And the one thing that was jarring, I'm going to review it on Friday. The one thing that was a little jarring to me was there was no short. You know how they always have the Pixar shorts that are up there? They did not have a short for the first time in 23 years. So that was a little weird, but the movie is fantastic. Really, really fantastic. And I think people are going to like it. All right. You know what? Let's see here. I'm trying to find this, and I have like 3 copies of it printed out, but I lost it. So I'm just going to relay it this way. I talked about this a little bit, and there's no way to do this outside of just kind of telling you the whole story. And this is what they reported in the Washington Post about this murder in Alaska. Cynthia Hoffman thought that Denali Bremmer was her best friend. The two teenagers had met while attending the same high school in Anchorage. And on her Instagram account, Cynthia posted photos of the two of them. Goofy poses, saying, my BFF. I mean, these two kids were inseparable, right? So Cynthia disappears. And it became clear that the 19-year-old had been tragically wrong. On June 4th, 2 days after her family reported her missing, they found her body on the bank of the Eglutna River. Might be pronouncing that wrong. Eglutna? On the outskirts of Anchorage. Her feet duct taped together, shot in the back of the head. So Cynthia Hoffman was killed by Denali Bremmer, her best friend, who's 18 years old, Police say she orchestrated the murder and recruited four other kids to help her because she meets a guy on the internet. The guy on the internet, this is amazing that things like this happen. And it's a cautionary tale for parents, I think, to monitor what their kids are doing on social media and elsewhere. I mean, this girl's 18 years old. You would think that maybe she would know better than this. A guy offers to pay her $9 million for filming a murder. Officials have not said why Cece, Cynthia's name was Cynthia, but she went by Cece, was targeted. Her family tells the Daily News in Anchorage that she had a developmental disability. It caused her to operate intellectually at a seventh grade level and maybe made her more vulnerable. Her dad, Tim Hoffman, says her disability made her want to have friends. That's all she wanted, just to be your friend. So when she disappears, and I guess I like this rule too, and this is something I should have in my family. The dad is quoted in the story saying, in this family, you all have phones. When your dad calls, you answer. I don't care if you're at church and the holy pastor is preaching. I don't care if you're at school taking the high school diploma test. If dad calls, you answer. I like that rule. I should have had a rule like that. The next morning, when Cynthia still hadn't showed up, Hoffman notified the police, but he was burning with nervous energy because they're looking for his daughter. He doesn't know what happened. So he's driving his motorcycle through the woods and bike paths. He's going all over the place. Then he gets a knock on the door on June 4th. Cynthia's dead. And while this was going on, dad is trading messages with Cynthia's friend, who he knew as Angela. She'd been with his daughter right before she vanished. She told him that she dropped off Cynthia at a park at her request. In messages that Hoffman provided to a television station in Anchorage, Angela sounded distraught over Cynthia's disappearance, saying, I hope she comes home safely. She's my best friend. But as Hoffman soon learned, Angela's name was Denali Bremmer, and she knew a whole lot more. So the court documents say this. Bremmer had formed an online relationship with a man who called himself Tyler. He said he was from Kansas. He convinced her that he was a millionaire and said, I'll pay $9 million to rape and murder someone in Alaska and send him videos and photographs. Bremmer agrees to the arrangement. And then she recruits four friends to help her, offering them a cut of the money if they help. So on June 2nd, Bremmer and a 16-year-old girl named Caden McIntosh borrow a friend's car. They pick up Cynthia. They drive her to the outskirts of Anchorage. They say they're going hiking. They bring her to a place called the Thunderbird Trail, Thunderbird Falls Trail. It's a hiking path, and you know it's beautiful out there. There's a big 200-foot waterfall. But they don't head for the falls. They go off the trail, another path that runs alongside the river, and they find a clearing. They bound her hands, feet, and mouth with duct tape. The horror of this story is really staggering. Once she's restrained, McIntosh took Bremmer's 9mm handgun, shot her in the back of the head. So this other kid says, yeah, I'm going to help out. I'll just shoot this girl in the back of the head. Bremmer reportedly sent in a video that she posted on Snapchat afterward. I'm sorry, everybody, my family, my friends. I guess you'll hear from me when you hear from me, but I won't be back for a long time. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. But they call this thing catfishing. You know, there was a movie out, a documentary years ago called Catfish, and this guy, Tyler, his real name is Darren Schillmiller. He's 21 years old. He doesn't even live in Kansas. He's in Indiana. He looks nothing like the picture he had sent. He wasn't a millionaire. Bremmer claimed that the three teenagers, Cynthia, McIntosh, and herself, had gone to take pictures of each other wrapped in duct tape. She said that she had no idea that the other kid planned to shoot the 19-year-old. Well, that was a lie because they proved that wrong. So they get a search warrant for her phone. They find child pornography in plain view. In a text message conversation with Schumiller, who was identified as Babe, she had detailed her plans to sexually assault a teenage girl and film it for him. Going to go buy weed first, Bremmer writes. I want to get her high for it so she doesn't fight me. Later, Schumiller tells Bremmer that he wished he had never made a deal with her in the first place. We can meet, but once I see a cop, I'm telling him or her that I made you rape and killed Cece. Once she learned that she had been duped, she admits that Schumiller had recruited her to commit a murder. And she also said that he had directed her to sexually assault two minors, which is, I think, where some of the pictures came. Stunning. Now, you would hope that most people would have enough common sense to not fall into a trap like this, but that is an amazingly horrific and sad story.
Get ready for the Cards and Marlins tonight. Ameren Total Access 620. First pitch 7:15. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Big Truck Series race this weekend at the Worldwide Technology Raceway at Gateway. The main event is the Gander Outdoors Truck Series, which is now going by the CarShield 200 presented by CK Power. We're going to run you through all that. It's very confusing to me. NASCAR driver, he's going to be participating on Saturday night. Jordan Anderson is in town with us this afternoon. Jordan, how are you? Great to see you in person.
Likewise. Glad to be here. Always a pleasure getting to be in St. Louis for the week.
You got Dad here. Cliff is with us as well. How are you, Dad?
Having a great time here in St. Louis.
You guys have an accent that sounds maybe Canadian or something like
South
that.
South Carolina. That... Way south.
I know. So here's what I know. I got dirt on you today. You want to give me dirt?
This could be good. This could be bad.
My buddy Kenny Wallace.
Oh, yeah.
You know Kenny?
I know Kenny.
He's a good friend. I was actually at his shop last week. He took great care of my little brother from Big Brothers Big Sisters, Cameron, who is into racing, and Kenny was great with him. But he said nice things about you. I was awesome. Trying to get dirt, Jordan, but he actually said really, really nice things about
Man,
you.
I tell you, I first met Kenny back in 2015. Actually, the same time we met Chuck and John from the Bomberito Automotive Group. We were broke down here in St. Louis for almost 3 weeks. And Kenny helped us out.
Yeah, I think he said that you used his shop or something.
We did.
Like that, right?
Last year, we were out there for a whole week working out of his shop. So St. Louis is always open arms. Everybody that we've met here, it's been pretty amazing the friendships we've made.
I got to see the shop in person.
It's pretty sweet.
I don't know,
right there by it and everything.
I know, it's nice. You get the pool. I've never been invited to the pool, but maybe I just have to sneak in there sometime. But he's just such a great guy. And he really, I learned a lot from him last week just because I don't know a whole lot about the particulars of racing. But how is the Truck Series different? Let's kind of talk about that. And why are you a truck racer?
Yeah, so you've got NASCAR has three different national series that are racing at any given time. So this weekend, the NASCAR Cup Series is out in California. They're at the Sonoma Raceway out there, a road course out there in wine country. We're here in St. Louis. The Xfinity Series is off. So you've got the NASCAR Cup Series, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, the NASCAR Truck Series. The Xfinity and Truck Series are about the same level. The Xfinity Series has this weekend off, and I've run the Xfinity Series before. I've run the Truck Series for, this is my fifth year in it, and the Truck Series is just a homegrown series. You've got a lot of smaller teams, family-owned teams, and the racing, in my opinion, is the best out of the all three. We're here in St. Louis. We were in Iowa this past week. We're in Chicago next weekend. We go to the Daytona, the Talladega, the same tracks those guys do, but we have a 23-race schedule, so it works out really well for us. This is my fifth year as a driver in the series, but last year, 2018, decided to go out on my own and start my own team. So I'm the youngest owner and driver in the sport right now. So it's been quite a journey, you could say.
Cliff, did you drive when you were younger, or do you now?
He is a first-generation
racer. So how did that happen? I want your version of how this happened, Cliff.
All I can tell you, as a small child, he used to draw in the dirt. He'd draw configurations of the racetrack where the NASCAR teams were going to be that weekend, and would literally sit for hours and run cars around the track. And in the back seat of the car one day, he broke down in tears crying and told his mama, said, "Mama, I was born to be a race car driver."
That's a true story?
True story.
Wow. And how did you, I don't even know if you remember that far back to how you got hooked.
You know, I just remember growing up seeing races on TV and always had the little Hot Wheels cars. And I grew up, played baseball, did some soccer, all those kind of things, but just always had a fascination with cars and watching them on TV. And back then, you had ESPN played a lot of the older NASCAR races, and there was always some kind of footage of races on TV back then, and would just eat it up. And at 4, 5, 6 years old, didn't know anything about it, but just knew that I liked what I saw on TV, and that's what I told them. And crazy thing, I was probably, 7 years old, we had gone out to watch a local race at a go-kart track, and we're sitting in the grandstands. I was with my mom and dad there, and we met this family that we come to find out were our neighbors back in Columbia, South Carolina. Their son was about 5 years older than I was, and he was a 6-time world national go-kart champion. But he had gotten in a crash and had a cast on. Well, 2 weeks later, he was getting his cast off, and him and I kind of made an agreement that once he got his cast off, I'd come travel in his go-karts. And the rest was history. 8-year-old Jordan, a few weeks later, got his first laps in a go-kart, and I know he bought one, and the rest was kind of history from there. I was hooked.
I love it.
I love it. Where I was.
You know, and I'm very, very lucky and fortunate because I still get to do what my passion was when I was probably about 10 years old. I would sit with my headphones on, listening to records, and I tried to imitate disc jockeys. I didn't always do talk. I was a music guy. But I feel very lucky because I feel like I'm not really working. And my producers will tell you I don't really work. So they would agree with that. But I think it's awesome. So how is a truck series race? I've never been to a truck race, okay?
Yeah.
Been to a NASCAR race. How is it different from maybe just a racing perspective or a strategy standpoint? How fast do they go compared to the cars?
Well, honestly, a lot of the tracks will go the same speed.
Really?
So, you know, Daytona, Talladega, you'll see the trucks go 200 miles an hour.
Wow.
Here at Gateway this weekend, over there at the track, we'll probably be hitting 155, 160.
Okay, so in my mind, if I'm in a car going 150, it's going to feel different in a truck because it's larger. Is that true?
Yeah, to a degree. You know, so part of what we fight on a race weekend is you're trying to, one, get the suspension to handle right. We call that mechanical grip. That's your shocks, your springs, your control arms, your spindles, getting all that stuff right and getting the tires in the racetrack. The other half of that is the aerodynamic part of it, to where we call it aero grip. You're trying to get the truck low to the ground, get the spoiler out there. So you've got a couple of different things you fight. Well, the truck drives amazing by itself, but when you get 31 other trucks around you and these trucks are punching big holes in the air and you lose all that aero grip on the front nose, they drive like giant U-Haul trucks sometimes.
Yeah.
So you've got to really fight to get that thing turning good and racing good around other guys. So if you're good by yourself, that's one thing, but you got to be good around the other guys you're racing with.
Cliff, are you in the pit crew, or are you just watching from the stands or
no,
from down below?
Dad's been given the privilege to cook.
Oh, that's not bad, right? That's pretty awesome.
He keeps us straight. Now, he doesn't give himself enough credit. I mean, my dad has been, you talked earlier about you were very, very lucky to do what you do, and I've been very blessed over the years that, you know, my mom and dad, he's been in real estate. My mom owned a hair salon. They both were, I guess you guys could say you both were entrepreneurs before the word entrepreneur got real big. And growing up around them, I saw from them a never give up mentality of, you know, pursuing after something and,
sure.
and not giving up. And NASCAR is a sport. It's very different from a lot of other sports in that it's very hard to break into it if you don't have
yeah.
somebody to get you in. And we didn't know what we were doing when we started, and we just stayed after it and just persevered, I guess would be a really good word through it, and just have been very blessed by opportunities and people and doors that have opened through difficult times. And it's just been amazing the path that we've been on to get where we're at now. And he's been a huge mentor of mine. And you got to have people you can trust
Absolutely.
Around you. And he's been a great sounding board and a word of good direction and advice for me over the years. And it was cool to have him at the track on Father's Day this past week. And he's been to every race so far this year. So that was really special.
He's saying some pretty nice things about you, Cliff.
Yeah,
what do you know?
It's kind of interesting because friend of ours that is one of the other series, we were talking one day and I told him how much I admired the passion that Jordan had for the industry and how he was single-minded and so focused on what he was doing. I said, you know, I admire people with such passions. I just wish I had a passion. And he said, you do. And I said, I don't know what it is. He said, you have the same passion Jordan does. And I said, well, what is it that you see as my passion? He said, your children.
Absolutely. I was going there before you even said,
yeah.
but I can see that already, and that's important. That is yeah. really, really important.
We have an interesting dynamic in the family because my daughter is 23. She's in NASCAR and does PR work, and she actually works for Austin Wayne Self, who is a competitor in our series, so it provides for some interesting days.
Yeah, that is interesting dynamics,
sometimes. We
right?
keep it in the family.
Awesome. I mean, how old are you, Jordan?
Just turned 28 this
yeah,
year.
You're a young guy. Well, listen— this city, as you probably know, is in a great mood after the Stanley Cup a week ago. I mean, things, I don't know how long you've been here, but things have been just on a high note ever since then. The parade was epic. So everyone's in a real good mood. I think that will spill over into the Truck Series race this weekend. What do we need to know? And I want to thank the team from Bomarito for getting you over here. The Bomarito Automotive Group, a big sponsor. They help us a lot here at KMOX. So it's the CarShield 200 presented by CK Power Saturday night. Anything else we need to know?
Man, it's so cool you mentioned that, and I go back with the guys from the Bomarito Automotive Group back to 2015. They've really, we talk about blessings. I mean, when I started out this team last year, I went and called Chuck. I went and called John, and they've been, you talk about people that you count as mentors, that both these guys have been huge for me from the business standpoint. And I said, hey, I've got the idea of I want to start my own team up. Is this something that you guys are behind? Will you guys support us in doing it? And they said, hey, we've seen what you've done so far. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. Go out and make the most of it. And we went out last year, our very first race, the team at Daytona. We got a top 10 with it. And
nice.
We've continued rolling. And it's kind of the same story that the Blues had. You know, they went so many years and just never gave up and stayed after it. And, you know, with them being the champions this year, we can really relate to what they went through.
It's great inspiration.
And their story and all that. So this weekend, we haven't announced anywhere else. This is, we're going to break the news here with you on the air. We're going to have a huge decal on the back deck lid of our truck this weekend, commemorating and congratulating the Blues on their
nice.
Championship this weekend.
I
so
love it.
We've
awesome.
Loved the vibes here in town this week. I actually got to go to my first ever hockey game earlier this year. Went and watched the Blues play here in town and fell in love with it. So anybody that says that St. Louis is not a sports town is crazy.
Oh,
you
man.
Guys love your baseball, you love your hockey, and now you love
now
your
we
racing.
Love our
we
racing.
Have first
We're
class
so
racing
glad.
Here now. So with
so
the NASCAR
that
race this
open.
Weekend, the Bomarito 500 later this year. The race is this weekend at 9 p.m. The Car Shield 200, like you said, it's a doubleheader race. The ARCA Series earlier in the night. The final event that I'll be racing in, the NASCAR Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the number 3, Bomarito.com, Chevrolet Silverado. We're going for it, man. It's a $50,000
awesome.
Bonus to win the race this weekend, so that's big for us. So putting all our eggs in that basket and going for
cool.
it.
Cool. Well, good luck. Stay safe.
We'll do.
And I often put the guests on alert just a little bit, you know, just to check them in. Zach Veach was in here. He was in the Indy 500 a few weeks ago, and he was really a good guest. So I told Jordan before he said, hey, don't suck, dude. And you didn't. You were great. Thank you so much. Cliff, nice to meet you. Good luck
Pleasure.
This weekend,
Thank
all
you.
Right? We're coming back. We got traffic and audio cut of the day still to come.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And it is brought to you this afternoon by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. We'll keep it light here. Jimmy Fallon last night with Lin-Manuel Miranda doing what they call the Wheel of Freestyle. He basically gets a few words and he's got to work them into some songs.
Here we go.
No whammies, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies.
Flip-flops, seared salmon. These are easy ones.
Oh,
prescription
yeah.
sunglasses.
Great.
All right, so you have to
okay.
work this in. Flip-flops, seared salmon, and prescription sunglasses. He's not heard these words before.
Okay.
And now you're gonna, Roots, can you give him a beat? Let's see how he does.
Yo, en español inglés, from A to Z. Your grandmother would hit you with that El Chancleta. Oh, it hits me in the head till my hip hops. But I got smacked in the back with some flip-flops. Oh, yeah, you know that I be jamming. You know I keep it smooth like I got that seared salmon. Or is it smoked? I don't really know. I'm just freestyling on the Tonight Show. But I guarantee I knock them on their asses. I hit you with the blue blockers, prescription sunglasses.
There you go. That was pretty good. Man, I'll tell you what.
Oh my
Unbelievable.
God.
I wish I had like an eighth of the talent of Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's your audio cut of the day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.